Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Laura Carlson. It's day 89 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Our main story? The ongoing drama over hydroxychloroquine. Studies have shown conflicting information about the value of using hydroxychloroquine to fight the coronavirus. The flip-flopping raises questions about not just the drug's efficacy and safety, but also on the reliability and accuracy of the scientific review process itself. But first, here's what happened today. Transmission of the coronavirus by people who aren't showing symptoms is, quote, very rare, the World Health Organization said Monday. That contradicts earlier speculation by public health officials and researchers that the disease was being spread by people who weren't showing signs of illness. New York City on Monday opened up non-essential retail stores for the first time in months. Governor Andrew Cuomo says a little more than 1% of New Yorkers tested Sunday were infected with the new coronavirus, the lowest rate since the pandemic began. The UK death toll rose by fewer than 100 for the second straight day, and London reported no new fatalities for the first time since its lockdown began. But worldwide infections from the coronavirus surpassed 7 million. That's up by 1 million cases in just a little more than a week. The surge is driven by hotspots, including Brazil and India. That worrisome trend adds weight to the value of social distancing. A report showed that lockdowns and other public health measures may have prevented about 500 million infections in 6 countries, including China and the U.S. And now, our main story. Hydroxychloroquine is back in the news. In the early days of the pandemic, the anti-malarial drug was touted by President Trump and some doctors as an effective treatment for COVID-19. But the drug has largely been discredited for use against the virus. Now, the studies dismissing the drug have also been thrown into doubt. So what's the truth about this controversial drug? I spoke to Bloomberg Health and Science reporters Michelle Cortez and Robert Langreth for some answers.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Thank you both for joining us. You know, in the news, we have heard a lot about this drug, hydroxychloroquine, in terms of whether or not it can treat COVID-19. But we've also heard that it's an actually anti-malarial drug. Can you maybe walk us through the narrative here about how this drug began being touted as a potential treatment for COVID-19?
When coronavirus first started circulating around the world, we had nothing for it at all. It was a brand new virus and the entire world was vulnerable. So drug companies and academic researchers started combing through all the evidence that they had, looking at every type of drug. They looked at antibiotics. They looked at other antivirals. They looked at antifungals. They looked at immune system drugs. They looked at everything. And in laboratory tests, it looks like this drug actually makes it more difficult for the virus to penetrate a healthy cell. And that's where it all started. When we saw something that had effectiveness, it was approved. They believed that there was an acceptable amount of side effect risk. They moved forward with it.
And as hydroxychloroquine has been this new potential in terms of a treatment for COVID-19. Obviously, we've seen many new reports being issued, a lot of discussion about its efficacy. And I was wondering if you might be able to explain a little bit about some of these reports and some of the conflicting evidence that we seem to be getting from the reports about whether it is indeed effective.
Very early on, some researchers in France tested the medicine in patients, and they found that it dramatically lowered the amount of virus in patients who were affected with coronavirus. And so they believe that that would translate to a benefit. If you have less virus in your body, you're likely to have fewer symptoms and less likely to get deadly ill. Then there were other smaller studies that were coming out. There were anecdotal reports where doctors said that they gave the medicine to patients and within hours and days, they were getting miraculously better. The thing is in these cases, they didn't have comparison patients, and most patients with coronavirus do get better. So it wasn't clear whether or not they were getting better because of this medicine or just because of time and their bodies taking care of the virus.
And then what happened was there was this giant study suddenly published a couple weeks ago in The Lancet, a well-known medical journal, and it was lead author was a big name Harvard professor. And it purported to do kind of the mother of all data gatherings from around the world. And they purported to gather data from 96,000 patients from around the world on all continents, on hundreds and hundreds of hospitals, from all sorts of different electronic medical records providers, and combine that into one giant report of how patients who got hydroxychloroquine did. And it said that not only was it not working, it was causing all sorts of harms, including increasing the risk of heart disease and death. So it went beyond that it didn't work and said it was dangerous.
And what was the upshot of this study?
This caused a great concern and caused the World Health Organization to pause a trial, clinical trial of hydroxychloroquine that was going on. So there was a very, very big impact to this study. But a problem with this study is that as data researchers and kind of online sleuths, doctors and places around the world on the internet started looking more carefully at the data behind the study, they found a large number of inconsistencies and red flags and things that just didn't add up. And one of the most basic ones was how could this small group of researchers gather all this data from so many hospitals and around the world with so many different privacy laws and rules and put it all together in such a short period of time. And then it turned out that the data all came from one tiny company that nobody had ever heard of called Surgisphere that was led by a vascular surgeon in Illinois with a very few employees and very little presence. And it just seemed highly implausible to outside researchers that this tiny little company could have gathered all this that nobody had ever heard of, could have just gathered all this data in the midst of a pandemic and done such a giant study so fast.
But what else do we know about this small company that otherwise we would never have heard about?
We know very little about it. It's very mysterious. There's very few employees. The main person associated with it appears to be this vascular surgeon, Sapan Desai, who is Illinois-based vascular surgeon. We know very little about the company. It's very mysterious. And so as people started asking questions about this data, The Harvard researchers, on the top researchers on this paper, his collaborators went back and said, we need an independent audit to verify that this data is real and where it came from. There's not problems with it. Dr. Desai said at first that he would cooperate with the audit, but then apparently he wouldn't provide the raw data or names of the hospitals. And that's when the paper was retracted.
How did then this get published? What were the circumstances that The Lancet was willing to accept? Clearly something that was very problematic in terms of its data sources.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is exactly the question. It is, you know, pretty unbelievable in retrospect that these studies got published. And there's not just one study by this group. There's a second study that had ended up being retracted in the New England Journal of Medicine. So this group got multiple studies into multiple major journals. And one of the things that may be happening is that in this rush to come out with new data and helpful information on COVID-19, because it's new virus and because we know so little and have so few treatments, you know, the journals are appearing, the major medical journals also appear to be pushing out, stuff quicker than ever before. And that appears to be leading to some mistakes, including some major mistakes here, such as this.
This leads me to kind of two related questions. In terms of what is the fallout from this, both from the sense of, you know, this report seems to have had significant impact in halting other clinical trial programs, other studies involving hydroxychloroquine. What is going to be the impact of this one report being retracted? And also, I mean, what are the longer, perhaps more broader impacts in terms of, well, certainly the reputation of The Lancet, but again, this rush to research and rush to publication as far as what we can find out about how to treat COVID-19.
When it comes to hydroxychloroquine, we can see that this imperfect and very fast science has really had an impact across the board. In the early days, when we were grasping for anything and President Trump got on board with this, we saw use of hydroxychloroquine go through the roof. Then we started seeing some pulling back. And after the Lancet trial, we actually saw the WHO and others halt their trials because, of course, the idea that patients were actually being harmed by this medicine is terrifying. You don't want to make people who are already critically ill even worse. The questions that are surrounding all of these drugs, though, are leaving us just with unanswered issues of what do we do going forward. The University of Minnesota did do a trial. It was double-blind, randomized. It was a trial to see if people who had been exposed to the virus could get protection from coming down with it, from actually becoming infected if they take hydroxychloroquine, and it did not find that. It found that it didn't help those patients avoid getting infected, but it also didn't cause significant side effects. So where that leaves us now is just in the same unknown space that we were in the very beginning. There are some people who really believe this is going to work, and there are other people who really believe that it doesn't work. If it does anything, it's not significant. It's not worth the time and effort, and patients should be moving on to other treatments that might give them more benefit.
Yeah, so I think this is a major warning sign for some of the medical journals, including The Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine, which also had a retraction on a different subject matter, but from the same tiny company. This is a warning sign that they need to perhaps move a little bit slower to make sure that the data coming out about this virus is really true and correct data.
It has really just been kind of a perfect storm when it comes to this. Early suggestions of possible benefit, this environment where we didn't have anything except for some fear, data set that appeared at least initially to be good, doctors who wanted to be helpful and get out information right away. But Bob's point is exactly right. We actually need to make sure that our data is accurate and safe and that doctors are making decisions based on things that are scientifically true. And the other thing to keep in mind is this virus is not going away. This is going to be with us for months, perhaps years, and we need to know the right answers, not just the fast ones.
That was Michelle Cortez and Robert Langreth. And that's our show today. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is produced by Topher Forges, Jordan Gaspure, Magnus Henriksen, and me, Laura Carlson. Today's main story was reported by Michelle Cortez and Robert Langriff. Original music by Leo Sidrin. Our editors are Francesca Levy and Rick Schein. Francesca Levy is Bloomberg's head of podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.